Have you ever wondered what it would be like to marry someone who has sworn to destroy you? Lila James's A Vow of Hate has captivated readers with its darkly intoxicating blend of revenge, passion, and redemption. This contemporary gothic romance has become a TikTok sensation, with readers drawn to its exploration of the razor-thin line between love and hatred. The book has garnered praise from celebrities like Megan Fox, who called it a masterclass in emotional complexity, and has sparked countless fan theories about its twisting narrative. What makes this story so compelling is how it transforms the arranged marriage trope into something far more psychologically complex, a marriage built on vengeance that unexpectedly evolves into something deeper and more profound. Juliana Romano's life changed forever 4 months ago when she made a mistake that resulted in her sister Gracelyn's death. Now, confined to a wheelchair and haunted by her sister's ghost, she faces Killian Spencer, the man who was supposed to marry Gracelyn, now forced to marry her instead, through their father's arrangement. "She died a cruel death, Juliana, and you will suffer a worse fate," Killian declares coldly, his dark eyes filled with hatred. He gives her 2 years to walk again so she can walk down the aisle on what would have been his wedding day with Gracelyn. His intentions are clear. This marriage is his vengeance. 2 years later, their wedding day arrives. Not the fairy tale Juliana once dreamed of, but a cruel reality. She insists on wearing a black veil as part of her continued penance, despite protests that people will talk. "Our lives have turned into a mockery," she tells her companion Celine. "A few more gossips won't hurt when I'm about to marry a man who absolutely loathes my mere existence." At the altar, Killian doesn't even look at her. When the priest begins the ceremony, Killian interrupts to whisper his true vows in her ear. "I vow to spend the rest of my life making you regret what you did to Gracelyn, to hurt you, to break you, and to hate you for the rest of our days. I will never be your protector, never your defender. I vow to be the villain in your story." Despite his cruelty, Juliana responds with her own "I do," seeking not revenge, but salvation through this marriage. After they exchange rings, Killian refuses to kiss her and simply walks away, leaving her at the altar, a bitter beginning to their forced union. 1 week after the wedding, Juliana finds solace in the castle gardens of Isle Rosa Maria. She prefers the Victorian-styled gazebo by a small lake, where she loses herself in classics like Wuthering Heights. Her love for ancient castles, tragic love stories, and historical classics makes her feel born in the wrong era. The castle staff, butler Stephen, cook Emily, and Emily's 14-year-old granddaughter Mirai become her only companions as she navigates her new life. Through Mirai, she learns about the castle's mysterious history, including tales of Marchioness Arabella and the origin of the name Rosa Maria, possibly named after a former lover of the first Marquis. 6 months later, Juliana has become obsessed with the tragic story of Arabella, the former Marchioness who lived a life of misery, loving a husband who mourned for another woman. Through Arabella's letters, Juliana discovers a woman who suffered in silence, eventually dying alone beneath the gazebo built for her husband's lover. The parallels to her own situation are unmistakable. Despite her fear of horses stemming from a childhood accident, Juliana bonds with a white mare gifted by her father-in-law, naming her Ragna. For the first time in ages, Juliana genuinely smiles, feeling that Ragna truly sees her beyond her veil and broken past. Meanwhile, Killian's rage toward Juliana still festers. He blames her for killing Gracelyn in what others call an accident. His father, dying from an inoperable brain tumor, demands Killian return to Isle Rosa Maria to fulfill their contract with Bishop Romano by producing an heir. Despite Killian's resistance, his father remains unyielding. As Killian prepares to return to Isle Rosa Maria, he embraces the monster lurking beneath his polished exterior. The world sees him as a driven lawyer and clean record politician, but no one knows the darkness within him as he heads back to confront his wife. When Killian returns to the castle, Juliana confronts him directly. Though he taunts her, calling her beastie, while stroking the scars on her neck, she stands her ground. When he suggests forcing himself on her to fulfill his husbandly rights, she firmly refuses, telling him she doesn't consent. "I hate myself more than you can ever hate me," she tells him, challenging what more he can do when she's already hurting herself with every breath. In a moment of boldness, she makes her own demands. 30 nights of dinner together with actual conversation before discussing consummating their marriage. Their first dinner is tense and pointed. When Killian calls her Beastie, a cruel nickname that strangers whispered behind her back after her accident, it creates another crack in her heart. She explains these dinners are practice for their upcoming masquerade ball wedding reception, where they must convince society they're happily married. During a garden walk, Killian plucks a rose and forces it into Juliana's hand, deliberately pressing her fingers against the thorns until she bleeds. As she gasps in pain, he brings her finger to his mouth, sucking the blood while delivering a cruel metaphor. Some people are thorns, beautiful but unpleasant and painful. Once you're pricked, you bleed. Juliana responds with unexpected wisdom. They coexist, together. What's a rose without thorns? A wilted rose. When she asks what he loved most about her sister, Killian snaps, grabbing her throat and hissing that he's her karma. She breaks down completely, fleeing into the labyrinth. He chases after her and, finding her sobbing on the ground, silences her with a kiss through her veil, 3 shattering seconds that leave them both stunned. At dinner with William Spencer, Killian's hand slides onto Juliana's thigh beneath the table. Despite her better judgment, she allows his touch to continue. Just as she nears climax, Killian whispers that his fingers had just been inside another woman, comparing her to a common whore. Devastated, she flees to her room. When Killian follows her, Juliana finally snaps. She challenges him to force himself on her if he wants, but warns she'll never give birth to his child if he does. "I will save my baby from having a monster as a father," she tells him, finally finding her courage. "You can't break what's already broken," she snarls through her veil. The masquerade ball marks their first public appearance as a couple. Juliana enters wearing a wine-rev gown with a sweetheart neckline and, surprisingly, no veil. Instead, she wears a custom lace and feather masquerade mask covering the left side of her face. Despite her limp, she wears heels, having practiced for days. As they dance, Juliana asks about the investigation into an attack on her that had occurred earlier. Killian admits they've found nothing beyond a deranged maid theory, but has doubled security. When William announces that Juliana will play the cello, she performs with haunting melancholy, creating a song of mad, ugly love that pierces Killian deeply. After her performance, Killian confronts her in a corridor, accusing her of taunting him by playing the cello, something Gracelyn had promised to do on their wedding day. Their argument escalates until Killian presses a sword against her throat, confessing she drives him mad, making him see her as more than just Gracelyn's killer. Later in her room, Juliana finds Simon, a ghost from her past, waiting for her. Through their conversation, Killian overhears a shocking revelation about Grace being pregnant. This shatters him. His love story wasn't tragic after all, but tarnished by Grace's betrayal with Simon. In a moment of raw passion, Killian and Juliana finally consummate their marriage, their months of tension and desire culminating in an intimate encounter. The moonlight streaming through the windows bathes them in an ethereal glow as they lay entwined in the aftermath. It's then that Killian notices something that makes his blood run cold, fresh blood staining the pristine white sheets. The realization that she was a virgin strikes him like a physical blow, shattering his assumptions about her past. When he confronts her about this deception, the tension in the room becomes suffocating. Their argument spirals, voices rising with each accusation, until Killian's frustration explodes. In one violent motion, he reaches out and rips away the veil she's worn since their first meeting, her constant shield against the world. The sight before him stops his heart. Her right side, the side she's kept hidden, is completely unmarred and hauntingly familiar. As she instinctively turns to hide this perfect half behind her scarred left side, recognition dawns in his eyes. His legs give out beneath him as memories flood back. Memories of a different time, a different woman, yet the same face. He collapses to his knees, barely able to whisper the name that changes everything. Gracelyn. The narrative pulls back the curtain on a carefully orchestrated deception. Juliana had been living in her sister's shadow, quite literally assuming Gracelyn's identity during Killian's courtship. Since the devastating horse riding accident in her youth that left her with both physical and neurological scars, including recurring epilepsy and memory issues, Juliana had been relegated to a quiet existence at her father's estate. Meanwhile, her sister flourished abroad, collecting accolades and admirers. When Killian entered their lives, Juliana saw her chance at happiness, even if it meant living a lie. For the first time, someone looked at her with desire rather than pity, spoke to her as an equal rather than an invalid. She hadn't planned to fall in love, but fate had other ideas. Through tears, Juliana pours out her confession. "I didn't fall in love with you. I plummeted into chaos because your love was everything beautiful and pure, but my love was everything deceitful and destructive. I crawled on my knees, bleeding for you." Her words hang heavy in the air, each one a testament to both her devotion and her betrayal. Killian's response cuts deep, his voice thick with emotion. "I mourned you for 3 years, Juliana. You turned this marriage into a joke." He reveals how his parents' toxic marriage left him craving authenticity above all else, the very thing she'd denied him. The irony of falling in love with her truth while living her lie isn't lost on either of them. His final words crystallize the complexity of their situation, delivered with a mixture of anguish and ice. "There's a fine line between love and hate. I love you as much as I fucking hate you." The statement hangs between them, like a double-edged sword, cutting them both equally deep. As Killian walks away, Juliana collapses against the cold stone wall, her body growing numb from the inside out. The world tilts sideways as familiar tingles race up her spine, warning signs she's learned to recognize but can never prevent. Suddenly, she begins seizing violently, her epilepsy triggered by the overwhelming emotional trauma. Killian hears her fall and rushes back, all previous rage instantly evaporating at the sight of her convulsing form. With practiced gentleness that betrays this isn't the first time, he cradles her head, counting the seconds, and whispering reassurances she can't hear. For 5 excruciating days afterward, Killian's absence gnaws at Juliana like an untreated wound, festering deeper with each passing hour. Though he had stayed vigilant by her side through that terrible night after her seizure, carefully monitoring her breathing and adjusting her blankets, by morning, he had vanished like morning mist. The despair is almost unbearable. She finds herself wishing he would storm into her chamber and unleash his fury rather than suffer this suffocating silence. Even his anger would be preferable to this emptiness. Feeling hollow and untethered, Juliana wanders mindlessly through the castle grounds until she finds herself at the stables, drawn to the familiar scent of hay and leather. There stands Cerberus, Killian's magnificent black stallion, his coat gleaming like polished obsidian. Missing her own beloved mare Ragna, left behind in her old life, she approaches him cautiously. Something in his dark eyes seems to understand her pain. Without saddle or reins, she pulls herself onto his broad back, her fingers twisting into his thick mane. "Take me away from here," she breathes against his neck, and he responds instantly, breaking into a thundering gallop. They race through the ancient woods as storm clouds gather overhead, the wind whipping tears from her eyes. When Cerberus returns to the stables alone, sides heaving and nostrils flaring, Killian's heart stops. He vaults onto the horse's back without hesitation, his voice rough with fear as he commands, "Take me to her." Following the stallion's unerring instinct, he finds Juliana unconscious beside a fallen log, her skin pale as moonlight and cold as winter frost, lips turning an alarming shade of blue. For 4 agonizing days, he maintains an unwavering vigil as she battles a brutal fever that leaves her alternating between violent shivers and desperate thrashing. Her nightmares blend with reality, bringing forth both epileptic seizures and haunting hallucinations, where she calls out names he doesn't recognize. On the 4th day, when her fever finally breaks, she looks at him with desperate, tear-filled eyes and croaks, "Do you hate me?" Her trembling thumb brushes his stubble jaw, her voice breaking like thin ice. "Please, don't hate me." "I wish our story was different," she whispers sleepily, exhaustion evident in every word. "I wish you didn't hate me and that I didn't lie to you. I wish we could start over again, just us, Juliana and Killian." Her words hang in the air between them, heavy with regret and possibility. After days of feverish illness, Juliana makes a dramatic entrance at dinner that leaves the entire household breathless. Gone is the severe black attire that had become her armor, her signature disguise against the world. Instead, she appears transformed, her platinum blonde hair falling in soft waves past her shoulders, dressed in an exquisite white sequin gown that catches every flicker of candlelight. Around her neck and wrists glitter the stunning ruby and diamond set Killian had given her during their courtship 3 years ago, pieces she'd locked away along with her heart when everything fell apart. The silence in the dining room is deafening as she approaches Killian's chair. Her voice, when she speaks, carries the weight of hard-won clarity. "I realized 3 things when I was sick and you took care of me," she whispers, her eyes meeting his with unprecedented vulnerability. "1, I was very wrong for what I did to you. The depth of that wrong haunts me daily. 2, I wasn't chasing redemption as I claimed. I was only trying to punish myself for my mistakes. And 3, I want to find real salvation, not this hollow existence I've been living. Fight me, Killian, and I'll fight you back until there's nothing left for us to fight about except how to move forward together." Their physical relationship intensifies as emotional walls begin to crumble. During an afternoon ride to a secluded waterfall, Juliana demonstrates her newfound boldness. Without ceremony or shame, she strips away her riding clothes and steps into the crystalline water, her invitation to Killian both challenge and offering. Their encounter there is primal and intense, not the soft, romantic reunion of fairy tales, but something raw and desperate, the inevitable combustion of 3 years of suppressed desire and unspoken truths. Later, as they return to the stables in the golden light of sunset, Juliana turns to face him. Her palm stretches out between them, a bridge across the chasm of their past. "Hi, I'm Juliana. Nice to meet you." Her eyes hold both mischief and sincerity. Though initially skeptical, wariness evident in the set of his shoulders, Killian eventually takes her offered hand. "Killian," he responds, his voice rough with emotion. "What are you doing, Juliana?" The question carries layers of meaning. "Rewriting our story," she answers simply, "from the beginning, without the shadows of the past." Over the next 2 weeks, they explore their renewed physical connection while Killian maintains careful emotional distance, a shield born of past wounds. Their dynamic shifts dramatically one stormy night when Juliana appears at his door, trembling from a nightmare that's left her unmoored. She begs him to hurt her, to use pain to anchor her to reality. What follows is an intense exploration of dominance and submission as Killian takes control, fulfilling her need for pain while maintaining exquisite care of her boundaries. In his masterful hands, Juliana discovers an unexpected path to healing, finding beauty in controlled pain, transcendence in willing submission, and ultimately a form of salvation in their shared understanding of power and trust. After another nightmare, Juliana makes a shocking realization. Her sister's death wasn't an accident. "Someone tried to kill us," she tells Killian, describing how their car was deliberately hit by a black Range Rover. This revelation lifts the burden of guilt she's carried for years. As their relationship deepens, Killian finally acknowledges his feelings. He replaces her enormous diamond with her original engagement ring, the one she wore before Graceland's death. This romantic gesture brings Juliana tears of joy, though she can't help feeling afraid of happiness. Soon after, Juliana discovers she might be pregnant, 10 days late with classic symptoms. While contemplating the pregnancy test results, she's suddenly attacked and drugged into unconsciousness. Killian, having finally embraced his love for Juliana, returns to their room with flowers, only to find her missing. Security footage reveals a masked man carrying her unconscious body away. Using a tracking device in her new ring, he follows the trail to an isolated house where he's knocked unconscious while searching for her. When Juliana accidentally attacks Killian instead of her captor, she reveals the shocking truth. It was her father who wanted her dead. Bishop Romano had orchestrated everything, revealing that Juliana wasn't his biological daughter, but the product of adultery. He'd been running illegal operations and planned to frame Simon for her murder. During the confrontation, Juliana takes a bullet meant for Killian. At the hospital, they learn their baby survived, despite early signs of miscarriage after surgery. Killian reveals he's already exposed Bishop's crimes to the world, making him a wanted fugitive. The biggest surprise comes when they discover that Gideon, the stableman from Isle Rosa Maria, is actually Juliana's biological father, who had been in hiding since Bishop killed her mother. 1 month after the traumatic events at the castle, Juliana is steadily recovering and 11 weeks into her pregnancy. The physical wounds have mostly healed, though occasional nightmares still plague her. Killian hasn't left her side, transforming into an attentive, almost hovering presence. They marry again in an intimate ceremony in the castle's restored chapel, witnessed only by their closest friends and family. Where their first wedding dripped with venom and spite, this one radiates genuine love. Killian's voice trembles as he promises not hatred, but eternal devotion, vowing to protect, cherish, and love her until his last breath. Since her discharge from the hospital, he's become almost comically overprotective, insisting on carrying her upstairs and monitoring her diet with religious dedication. The next several months pass in a blur of prenatal appointments, nursery preparations, and quiet moments of connection. 6 months after Bishop Romano's death, their son enters the world, Cameron Theodore Spencer, a perfect blend of his parents, with Killian's thick black hair and Juliana's striking gray eyes. The delivery is long but uncomplicated, with Killian remaining a steady presence throughout, his usual commanding demeanor softened by nervous anticipation. Late at night, as they watch their son sleep, they playfully negotiate their future family plans. Juliana wants 4 children total, while Killian initially suggests 2 before they settle on having 3 more, each agreement sealed with a kiss. Killian discovers a new dimension of himself while holding Cameron against his chest. The fierce protectiveness he feels surprises even him, a man who thought he understood the depths of his capacity for devotion. During quiet moments in the nursery, he often reminds Juliana that their story has broken the castle's cycle of tragic romances. Their love story may have started twisted and broken, marked by revenge and misunderstanding, but they fought through the darkness to find their light. They chose each other repeatedly, through hatred, through healing, through redemption. Their journey from bitter enemies to devoted lovers proves that even the most damaged beginnings can blossom into something beautiful when 2 people commit to growth and healing together. They've learned that true love isn't about erasing the past or pretending the scars don't exist. It's about choosing to build something new despite those scars. Their original vow of hate has transformed into something far more powerful, a promise of enduring love that acknowledges their flaws and celebrates their resilience. In their son's peaceful face, they see the future they fought so hard to deserve, imperfect, real, and wholly theirs.